When I came to St. Andrews for my very first visit during the interview process, Erin Johnston took me on a tour of the buildings, and when she brought me in here into this sanctuary, I was struck by the location of the baptismal font, right in the middle. And Erin told me about the renovation and the choices that were made about the carpet that looks like water and putting the font at the center, right in the middle of everything. And y'all, I was in love. So many Presbyterian churches have baptismal fonts that are lovely pieces of furniture. They've got carved wood to match all the rest, and they have a big, imposing lid. Hiding underneath it, a small silver bowl, perhaps the size that you might put mixed nuts or buttermints in for a reception. And in those churches, that piece of furniture is usually pushed off to the side so it doesn't get in the way of the business of worship. But not here. Here we have a great big punch bowl-sized font, not a nut bowl. And it's clear and it's exposed so you can't miss it. It's right in the middle, so you have to walk around it for the few of you who dare to come to the front pews. The ushers have to walk around it to take the offering. The children walk around it when they come up for their time together, and when we celebrate communion by intinction, we all pass by these waters. Our Presbyterian Constitution advises that worship space be arranged to, quote, visibly express the integral relationship between word and sacrament and their centrality to Christian worship. Well, we've got centrality right here. And this is important because baptism isn't just something that is done to you perhaps as an infant, and then you never need to think about it again. Baptism is much more than that. We should remember our baptism every time we see the font right in the middle, and even every time we touch water and remember the promises made in baptism. Baptism is not an initiation ceremony for a social club. It is God's gift to us, an acknowledgement that in life and in death we belong to God. And each time we see the font, we should remember our baptism. And we should hear this: I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. Can you hear that? I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. Let's try that together. Repeat after me. I am God's beloved child.
I am God's beloved child.
Called and sent to make a difference in the world.
Called and sent.
We know this is true because the words we read in Luke's gospel account, we hear that Jesus is declared to be the beloved Son of God. And after Jesus is baptized, we hear a voice from heaven: You are my Son, whom I dearly love. But before we hear that voice from heaven, we get some divine special effects. The scripture says, while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. It is during Jesus' prayer that the divine special effects begin. Jesus' ministry begins here at his baptism with prayer. And prayer becomes the focus of Christ's life and ministry as seen in Luke. Not long after Jesus begins his public ministry, he cleanses a leper. And Luke tells of how word gets out about what he's been doing, and people come to him and listen, and they come to be cured, but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. And just before Jesus chose his 12 apostles, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent the whole night in prayer to God. And after Jesus spent time in prayer, his disciples asked him how they should pray. And that's when he taught them the Lord's Prayer. In Gethsemane, Jesus prays, asking God to remove the cup from him, asking that God's will be done. And just before he breathes his last breath, Jesus prays, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." For Luke, prayer is essential to Christ's ministry. More than any other gospel, Luke portrays Jesus in prayer at critical moments in his life and ministry. Prayer marks Jesus' decision-making and transitions. At his baptism, when Jesus prays, all heaven breaks loose. So what did he pray that did that? And what did he pray that then sent him out into the wilderness to be tempted and led him to call his disciples? We can imagine his prayers for illumination, for openness to God's word and spirit, for faithfulness to God's purposes, for a lighted path, for discernment of God's voice in the noise of the world, and for courage. Through prayer, Jesus finds encouragement from the Holy Spirit, even in difficult times. The Holy Spirit provides power and stamina to Jesus through prayer. So then, do we also depend on the Holy Spirit and our connection to God through prayer for the spiritual stamina to follow Christ's call? The Holy Spirit does indeed empower us to bear fruit worthy of repentance, just like John preached and Christ lived. Pastor Larry Duggins writes about this. By God's grace, he says, we too are the ones in whom God is well pleased. In our haste to avoid any semblance of works righteousness and any inkling that we might be able to earn our own salvation, we sometimes forget that through God's grace we are called to please God. God created us in God's image. When God's grace touches our lives, we make choices that align with the will of God, and God smiles. Just as God weeps with us in our times of pain, God laughs with us in our times of joy. God invites us into concert with God's will, and when grace makes it possible for us to choose justice, peace, and joy, God is well pleased with us. Our prayer is God's presence moving through us. In Jesus' prayer at his baptism, all heaven breaks loose. And then the voice from heaven declares, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." So we can be reminded that those words are for us too, at our baptism and each day. I am God's beloved child, called and sent to make a difference in the world. Let's try that together again, shall we? I am God's beloved child.
I am God's beloved child.
Called and sent to make a difference in the world.
Called and sent to make a difference in the world.
And so if we hear these words and remember these words and turn to God in prayer, in our decision-making and transitions and in life together, what might God do? Perhaps all heaven will break loose and all will know that they are God's beloved child. God declares, "You are my child, you are beloved." At this font, the church affirms what God has already done for us, that we have been called beloved children of God. And from this font, the church is sent to make a difference in the world. We are called and sent to share that great news and to make a difference in the world. And now we get to go live like we believe that is true. Thanks be to God. Amen.